நீங்கள் SBS தமிழோடு இணைந்துள்ளீர்கள்.
Greetings, Michelle. This is Sanjayan from SBS Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Let me start with congratulating you on winning the seat of Higgins.
Thank you.
How do you feel about that?
Look, I'm incredibly humbled and I'm very much honored to have won this seat and to have had the people of Higgins represent me at a federal level. It's significant and historic on multiple levels, and I really do feel the weight of responsibility to now deliver and lead them faithfully and represent them faithfully.
A lot of Tamil media have promoted you as the first Tamil person to be elected to the Australian Federal Parliament. What's your identity? How do you see yourself?
Well, look, I have a fairly complex ancestry. My ancestry is Sri Lankan Tamil. Yes, it is. My parents are Tamils, but I was born in England. I lived in a country called Zambia in central southern Africa for 11 years, and I came to Australia as a child. So I don't actually speak Tamil. I do understand it, but I don't speak it. And I do have cultural links. They're probably not as strong as a lot of people presume. But I think it's important to say that my cultural background, of course, has had an impact in my life. No question about that. But I am an Australian, a proud Australian. And I think I represent very much the migrant story of Australia. And that's really borne out through hard work and sacrifice.
You don't have a political background. You never did any kind of politics, to my knowledge.
Correct.
And from a medical background to politics, how was the transition?
Well, I actually was politicized in medicine, and it happened during the pandemic when I stood up for healthcare worker safety. And this was something that happened in mid-2020, so about 6 months into the pandemic. And I did a lot of advocacy work around occupational health and safety for healthcare workers. And I co-founded an entity called Healthcare Workers Australia. I did a lot of media work. I wrote for mainstream media and in scientific venues. I gave lectures. I spoke to my colleagues. And I really pushed to have better PPE protection for healthcare workers, along with transparent reporting. And during that period of time, I did reach out to various political figures on both sides of the aisle. And I must say, I did find the Labor people were very receptive, curious, and willing to help. And so what that episode taught me, and it was a lot of work, there's no question about it. What that episode taught me was that the actions or the omission of action by people, particularly politicians, upstream of us has a material impact on people on the ground like me. And I realized that really to drive change at the scale and speed that is desirable, you really do need to step into the political ring. So I had become politicized, but you're right, I was not part of any political movement as such.
I had that as a question, Michelle. From your messaging, you don't sound like an anti-vaxxer, but you were against AstraZeneca vaccine. You had been pushing for pushing for Pfizer, Moderna, or Novavax options.
That's a total misrepresentation.
Oh, okay.
That's just a smear campaign that was generated by the Liberal Party to discredit me when my candidacy was announced. And it was done principally to divert attention from their monumental failings in vaccine procurement and distribution, which was described by Malcolm Turnbull as the greatest failure in public administration. So, yeah.
I'm actually quoting Sydney Morning Herald from memory, July 2021.
Yeah, it was all part of an orchestrated campaign against my candidacy.
Hmm. The smallest electorate in Australia is Grandler, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's seat, which is 32 square kilometres, and Higgins is 39 square kilometres. Campaigning in a small area, or relatively small area, was that easy for you, even though you were new in political campaigning?
I don't think the size of the electorate matters too much. It's the number of people. So Higgins has a population of around 110,000 people, and a great deal of variation. There are single dwelling homes, and then there are a lot of apartments, high density, medium and high density apartments. So we ran a very strong grassroots campaign locally because we had to really reach out and listen to what people were saying. And I had 4,000 conversations with people, both at their doors and over the phone. And we had a large volunteer contingent of over 1,200 people, really reflecting a groundswell of support for change. And that's honestly, it was that sort of authentic connection one-on-one with people that I think helped win the day.
Primary vote-wise, Katie Allen, your primary opponent, got 35,890 votes and you got only 24,854 votes. But because of the preferential voting system, you got elected. How do you see that?
Well, that is exactly as you said. It is a preferential voting system. I don't read too much into this. I think that all I could say is that it's important to recognize that the people have spoken and I've been democratically elected. However, I do feel a profound responsibility to those people who did not vote for me as well. And so it's important now going forward that we unify this country and ensure that as a government we deliver both at a local level and at a national level.
Katie Allen, in an interview on Wednesday with ABC, said it's policy and not personality which brought the loss to her. She said that we should focus more on policies and less on personalities. Do you think that Labour has put forward enough policies to differentiate the party
Absolutely.
From Liberal Party?
Absolutely. I completely reject the notion that has been propagated by various sections, various commentators around the traps that we have were a small target. In fact, we brought forth a very ambitious policy agenda, really centered around the energy transition and the return of onshore manufacturing, investment in skills, easing cost of living pressures on families through cheaper childcare, which has a material impact on the career outcomes and trajectory of women, working women in this country. And we certainly want to see reparation for our First Nations peoples. So there's nothing small target about any of this. It's bold reforms which have lagged for too long by successive coalition governments. And we're now seeing the neglect play out in terms of a health crisis and an economic crisis and an environmental crisis. And this has happened because of the neglect of successive coalition governments. And it's something that we now need to step in and repair.
This is your first term. What's your long-term plans?
Well, I've just been elected. I haven't been declared yet. But I think that going forward, the most important thing is to serve the people and advocate for them faithfully. And that's all I'm focused on.
And you are one of the women parliamentarians to enter parliament this year. And I think this is the largest number of women parliamentarians in the parliament. How do you see that change happening? Do you think this will continue and we'll have equal representation of men and women in the parliament?
Well, this has only happened on one side of politics, on our side, on the Labour Party side. And it's a consequence of considered and determined reforms that were made decades ago by the Labour Party towards gender equality at caucus level. And we've certainly achieved that in 2022. We have also, incidentally, achieved a pretty good mix of cultural diversity in our parliament, in our caucus, I should say. It's important to say that these things don't happen by accident. You really do need to put in place and have the courage to put in place reforms that lead to these sorts of outcomes. So I'm the happy recipient of changes that were made many, many years ago by other people, by party leaders. And now the Australian people will be the beneficiaries of this because diversity in government means better outcomes for the Australian people.
Thank you very much, Michelle Anandaraja. We wish you all the best in your new parliamentary career.
No problem. Thank you very much.
இது போன்ற மேலும் பல நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்க வேண்டுமா? Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify என்று podcast கிடைக்கும் பல வழிகளில் நீங்கள் நிகழ்ச்சிகளை கேட்கலாம்.